Imagine being a boy growing up in a large family, a boy named James. You have a pretty good mom and dad and brothers and sisters who are faithful followers of God, but you had one brother who just seemed to be from another world. By that I mean he was absolutely perfect in every way. Your brother never threw temper tantrums as a baby. As a young boy, he ate all the vegetables set in front of him. He always did all his chores. Your brother never exhibited any of the typical foolish teenage rebellion. He was always loving, spoke words of grace to all people. You watched your brother grow strong and wise, and he was loved by God and men. If you were James, imagine what it would be like to hear, "James, why can't you be more like your brother, Jesus?" Hi, I'm Pastor Joel of Heart City Church, and welcome to Happy and Whole in Him, a 5-minute gospel devotion 5 days a week, so we can come to better know the heart of Jesus for us. Today's verse is James 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Friends, we're going to begin a journey through the Gospel of James. Well, actually, James is not a gospel. It's a 5-chapter letter Jesus' brother James wrote to Christians that is full of the gospel. As James urges Christians to be who they are by following, obeying, and being like Jesus, while living in a place that is not our home. The people that James is writing to, they're likely Jewish Christians who've been forced to flee the Promised Land. They're scattered among the nations, populations that have no desire to serve the true and living God. So living as Christians means they have to turn their backs on many of those things that their cultures value in order to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that can be hard, right? When folks all around you are living every day in rebellion to God. We celebrated America's birthday a few days ago, and I love celebrating our nation and its freedoms. But there are many things in America that I do not celebrate as others do. Yes, as a Christian, I'm called to pray for and to seek the welfare of the nation I live in, Jeremiah 29:7. At the same time, we are called to come out of our nation by not sharing in the sins that God says He will judge it for, Revelation 18:4. Joel, how do we do that? How do we serve God and not our nation while still seeking our nation's welfare? In a word, my friend, wisdom. We need wisdom. We live in a culture that has lots of knowledge, but it doesn't have much wisdom. So James gives us a balanced diet of gospel wisdom as he weaves a tapestry from various parts of the Bible, from the law, from the Proverbs, from the Psalms, from the prophets, and a whole lot from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. You see, James' ultimate goal is to promote a life consistent with faith in Christ Jesus, and this is a recipe that every Christian should savor. Another reason James can be so helpful is he's very practical. In 108 verses, James gives us 59 things to do, a lot of practical application, so we can live as servants of Jesus and for the good of our neighbor. And who better to learn this from than James, the servant of Jesus, who daily witnessed wisdom walking for over 30 years. Now that may prompt a question in our minds. Joel, why does James address his readers as the servant of Jesus when he could write the brother of Jesus? James was related as closely as you could be to the Messiah physically. I mean, that's a credential to impress the reader. Why not start the letter by making his readers aware of this? For a very simple reason. His physical relationship was irrelevant to his spiritual life. For most of the days Jesus walked our earth, James was spiritually dead. He did not believe Jesus' words, John 7:5. He told folks that his brother was out of his mind, Mark 3:21. It was only after Jesus was raised from the dead that James became a believer. And by the grace of the Holy Spirit, James became a servant of the Lord Jesus, even an apostle who later refused to serve the culture and, like his brother, died a martyr's death. Having Jesus as brother must have been a most wonderful privilege, but James' fleshly relationship had profited him nothing, as Jesus tells us this is true, John 6:63. James' experience underlines for us that we can be so near to the Lord Jesus, yet still not be rightly related to Him. Today there are many folks who, if you ask them if they believed in the Lord Jesus, if they had a relationship, they would give you a response, "Oh, I go to such and such a church." Or they might say, "I said a prayer many years ago." But what would happen if you pressed the issue and said, "Are you truly serving Him with your life?" Could they honestly say yes? Can you, my friend? There was a time when you could have asked James, "What is your relationship to Jesus?" And he would have said, "I am His brother." This illustrates that you can be that close to Jesus physically and yet not have the Spirit-given instinct to say that, "I trust Him and I have become His servant." And this needs to be our first instinct, to say that we will do absolutely anything our Lord Jesus asks us to do while living in this world. Remember who you are and who you belong to.